a majority of the attention on cybersecurity and cyber attacks is on basically bits and bytes, you know, the information that's moving across all the networks and inside these devices. But there's sort of yet another thing that we can add to our list of things to worry about, which is that with all of these advances in information technology and networking technology and computer technology and communications, such as wireless communications, it's now possible to build very advanced platforms which combine very advanced computing capabilities with actual physical machines that do things. And the overwhelming majority of those platforms are things that are beneficial. They're things that are used, for example, in robotic surgery and search and rescue and applications like that. But drones in the wrong hands could obviously do quite a lot of damage and are an example of a cyber-physical platform.
I think when most people think of drones, people who are not immersed in this technology on a daily basis, at least when I think of drones, I think of Star Wars-type stuff. So I read the piece that you wrote for the Brookings Institution, which we have linked up at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth, and I was alternatively scared stiff and frothing at the mouth at the excitement of the technology. Here's one piece that I wanted to ask you about. In December 2010, a small Israeli-made drone operated by the Mexican Federal Police crashed in an El Paso, Texas backyard, causing no injuries. That incident, which Customs and Border Protection Commissioner Alan Burson later characterized as an accident, no question about it, illustrated the uncomfortable reality that all of the analysis regarding the drone's origin, ownership, purpose, trajectory, and payload took place after the crash had occurred. This stuff is really out there, was what I took away from the piece that you wrote from Brookings, and dealing with it both on a federal level as far as protecting our borders and protecting people inside the United States is really something that has not been paid attention to, is what I took away.
Yeah, it's really interesting is that these technology changes have sort of happened while most of us kind of had our head turned the other way. They've happened really fast. Not too long ago, as I also mentioned in the Brookings piece, the early part of the 2000s, the potential that drones could fall into the wrong hands was certainly on the radar screen, and there was some testimony before a House of Representatives subcommittee and some papers published. But even though that was only, let's say, 7-8 years ago, technology has really changed, and the concern then was really more focused on the very large drones, that were really sort of the size of cruise missiles, and that is a concern, that remains a concern. But the same advances that have made it possible to put these smartphones in our pockets that have all this incredible video functionality and computing capability have also made it possible now to build drones which the smallest of them can literally easily fit in the palm of your hand. And they still have very advanced computing capabilities and can fly all over the place. And the incident mentioned that I discussed in December of 2010 was one of these small drones that you could easily, again, carry in a backpack or in your hand or in something not much bigger than that. And that's what's changed, and that creates a whole new set of concerns, I think, from a Homeland Security standpoint that, as you point out, has not generally been something that I've seen discussed really, you know, in the wider community.
Well, I commend this piece that you've written to anybody who has to pay attention to these kinds of things, and you have a number of citations to take people to other information about this, and we've got it linked up, as I mentioned, at federalnewsradio.com. Tell me, though, where you see this heading, whether you're seeing signs that the right people that should be paying attention to these kinds of things are indeed doing so, or whether this is still kind of under everybody's, no pun intended, under everybody's radar screen.
It's a terrific question. I think the right things are happening. First of all, you know, I've learned to be patient in these things, and this piece only came out, I think it was really the beginning of last week, so it's literally been only out there for something like 9 or 10 days. And I've gotten quite a bit of feedback, and it has gotten quite a bit of play. And you know, I'm not self-centered enough to think that I'm the only guy in the country that has thought of this thing. I expect there are probably other people in various portions of the government who have also, you know, will you know, when they read something like this, will think, yes, this has been a concern of mine as well. And so my hope is that by you know, creating a dialogue in the kind of wider policy and government communities here, that we can in fact get ahead of this and put into place at least some of the steps that we can do to lower the chances that something like this would be used by the wrong people. And you can, as you know, security is never a 100% thing, but you can certainly tilt the odds much more in favor of being more secure. And I think we haven't quite tilted those odds as much as we could with respect to this particular threat.
Well, as I said, your piece is fascinating. I commend it to anybody who cares about such things, and I appreciate you being on with me this afternoon to talk about it.
Okay, well, I very much appreciate your interest. Thank you.